Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Gameable Audio in episode 7. If this was a Star Wars film, it would be The Force Awakening, but sadly, it is not. Today, we're going to talk about Happy Tunes for video games. My name is Christopher Sjöström. I am the host of this podcast. I'm so really bad at saying my own name every time when I'm doing an episode. It feels like I need to repeat myself 1, 2, 3 more times before I can nail the one we're going to go live with, okay? But today we're going to talk about happy tunes, and not necessarily like happy tunes in the sense that these tunes make you happy. More like we're talking about video games where the tunes are really good, of course, but we're talking about the games that kind of bring forth, or the characters that kind of bring forth a really good vibe, a really nice environment where happiness could theoretically grow. In my case, I picked a little bit high and low, but I really like to have some sort of connection to either characters, the games, or graphics, and so on. But it all kind of comes together with the music. So today, we're going to start out kind of wild, kind of going full force on this one. I'm talking about some characters I know a lot of people have close to their hearts. I'm talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I myself really adore these little critters and been playing them for a really long time, even since the Nintendo Entertainment System. Not a fan of that game per se, but I really grew fond of these guys with the second game and even more with Turtles in Time. And when they had a release with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, I was hooked. So we're going out in style from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge and the song Panic in the Sky. There we have it, the first track of the week. This was Panic in the Sky from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. The music here was composed by the amazing Portuguese T. Lopez. And specifically for this song, it was only for lyrics, as he was joined in by the American Johnny Atma from the group Gunmetal. And the game here, it was developed by the Canadian studio Tribute Games and was released last year on PC, Linux, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and even this year it had a release on both iOS and Android. I'm pretty sure I've seen this in the Netflix store. So people who are interested in trying some beat 'em up, especially Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just go ahead and go wild if you do have a Netflix account. Just try it out. What's the worst that can happen? You didn't like it, and then you return to the console or PC that you love to play this song. Anyway, when it comes to this song, I was actually kind of stunned when I was listening through the OST here, and it's like, this track had lyrics in him, and I had no idea. It is so crazy. So in this scene, you're basically flying around on skateboards in the sky, hitting off with all the Foot Clan and monsters and everything, yeah. And when it comes to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there are so much nostalgia for me, both from the cartoon, the comics, but most of all when it comes to the music. I really adore well, first of all, I just really adore the theme, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but when it comes to the music, it always have this edginess, it always have this cool factor and an attitude, kind of what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of represents. For me, my favorite character is Michelangelo, because he's a crazy motherfucker, and I believe I'm a bit crazy as well sometimes. Not to the same extent as he, but definitely that is the best character that I just adore. Anyway, when it comes to the Panic in the Sky, I just love that this track actually had lyrics. I know there are more tracks that had lyrics, but I was aware of these songs prior to playing the game. So I was already kind of available mindset-wise that, hey, let's do this. But when I'm trying to remember this song and in the game, I have no freaking clue. And then when I looked it up, I noticed it was this specific scene. I just had to go back and look through and play it a little bit by myself. And so, like, holy crap, this has lyrics! I was even more overjoyed. And this is what the episode is all about. The happy tunes, the epicness that we do get when we are listening to the music that we all love. So, kind of hard to kind of convey anything else from this track and kind of to the next one, because we're still going to talk a little bit about T. Lopez here. So looking into his professional background here, he is firstly credited for work that he did professionally in a game back in 2017. And I think a lot of you guys know this one. It is Sonic Mania. Following up this, he worked on Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom back in 2018. And then following up with Team Sonic Racing back in 2019. And working on multiple songs for the DLC, Mr. X Nightmare, for the game Streets of Rage 4. I myself are very interested in this game, but I still haven't gotten that far to purchase it and play it. Anyway, back to the track of talking about Tim Lopez here. So the last game that he worked on that is out is Sonic Origins, that was released last year, so 2022. He does have a couple of tracks that is upcoming. I know from one of his next upcoming work will be found in the game Metal Slug Tactics. And currently this game does still not have any planned release with any date specifically. It's still like, oh, coming soon to be announced. But the game will be released for both Nintendo Switch and PC through Steam. So people that are interested in that IP and like strategy games should definitely check this one out. It looks really good. So how are we going on with the next thing here? So in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're always kind of chasing Shredder, who has either kidnapped somebody or have taken something. But you're kind of chasing something all the time in Shredder's Revenge, because you're kind of chasing the robot parts from Krang's robot. I don't remember if that robot has anything. I only remember that's Krang. So if there are any nerds out there that kind of twist and turn in your graves or in your chair right now, I'm sorry if I offended you, but I'm not that well versed in lore of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I just like them to the extent that on the surface they're amazing. Maybe they're even more amazing down below, but I'm okay with just touching the surface, you know? So, following up on this, we're going to listen to a track from Beard Blade, which is an interview I've been doing with Steven Malin before, and I will talk a little bit more about that as we return. But the track we're going to listen to is Get Him! That, folk, was the track Get Him from Beard Blade, and the music here was composed by the charming American Steven Malin, and the game was developed by a small indie team of two called Glovebox Games. The game itself was released on PC back in the 20th of July 2021. So many numbers going on my screen. It's crazy. And looking at Stephen Malin as a composer here, Stephen actually guest my podcast back in 2021, close to the release of this game, because I've been having my eyes on this game for quite some time. I was super eager to get it just by looking at like the teaser trailers. I don't remember if it was a Kickstarter as well. I'm a little bit unsure right now. Maybe I should have looked that up. But definitely this was one of those games that looked so freaking fun, and art style looked really cute and sweet. And the aesthetics of the game itself, the gameplay and so on, was just too quirky for me to say no to. I'm just a sucker for platform games, just to say that, to say the least. But it was an instant buy. I purchased it on the release. And Steven, closely to that, was... guesting my podcast. So in episode 148 of Finally Game Music section in the feed, that's where you can find the interview when I'm interviewing Stephen Malin about his work and specifically talking about this soundtrack. So I highly recommend you guys to check it out if you haven't already. But other than that, I just, of course, always recommend you guys to listen to all the work I've done. But that's kind of how it works with a podcast, right? But I'm just so bad at making ads for myself. It's crazy. But in consideration to that, let's return to the topic here. So Steven today is included to a team of composers following under the name of the Video Game Music Alliance. And I know we touched a little bit on this subject. I don't know how deep we touched about this. But considering that musical project and the alliance itself is basically... like how to create a work-friendly environment for composers where pay and everything is kind of working together and people can still focus on families, because it is really hard for composers to be out there and be competitive on the market and actually have work from a day-to-day basis. So it is very important for them to make everything kind of work, unless they kind of want to work all the time, and that kind of alienates a family, and etc., etc. Highly recommend listening to the podcast rather than listen to me rambling about it now. I think it's way better to listen to Steven explain these things rather than me. So, considering the music that Steven has been working on, I know for a fact that he has been working on doing some work for the game Monster Century, which has released prior to Beardblade, but did get some DLCs afterwards. Checking out the stores, I didn't really find... I found one DLC, but it was also a couple of years ago. And considering that, I'm pretty sure they did release something else. I just didn't find it as clear as everything else. And considering the work that he's doing still, there are still more game soundtracks on the way, such as the Twilight Monk and the Aethermancer. I'm a little bit unsure how you kind of say that. Aether, it's not either, but Aethermancer. I'm going to say Aether, but that's me. If anybody else wants to say anything else, just do that. Hopefully we will understand each other. So there are still more work coming in from Steven, and he has been rewarded with multiple awards and nominations, and he's just a swell guy. Also, check out his podcast. I'm a little bit unsure if he still does that, but he did do some sort of live recording and podcast live feed on Wednesdays. If not, just follow him and still kind of take in all the things that he does. He's a super sweet guy. And just amazing work-wise. I haven't worked with him, but I would love to work with him someday. So, considering this, when it comes to Beardblade, it is the art that kind of brings out the happiness. It really brings forth this style of like a DS game, and I just find that super freaking sweet. To me, when I'm holding my 3DS to play some DS games and so on, they usually have these kind of vivid, really bright colors in the games. Looking at Nintendo, I think this is the time and era of games where they shone or were the brightest, kind of. I might be a subject to change, of course, and of course in the perspective of each and every person. But to me, with the games I've played so far on my 3DS, through the DS, era, I just love how bright they are, and it really brings a smile to my face. And listening to the soundtrack of Beardblade was definitely one of those games that I played from start to finish. I went to work, I got home, and started playing Beard Blade again. It's not a super long game, so I highly recommend people that do like platforming and does like the quirkiness to some games and just enjoy some really sweet and nice music to play this game. Considering that, we're moving on to the next track, and this time we're putting in some more vibes to it as we're going into the game of Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. Everybody loves Shantae, right? The track we're going to listen to is Steamworks from the Saliva Island. There we have it, folks. It's Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, and this was the Steamworks from the Saliva Island, and holy crap, I just adore the music for this game. Holy crap, it is so vibing. The composer here is the legendary American Jake Vert Kaufman, and Kaufman is just really good at trying to find the essence of like a dancey video game music, and I just adore the soundtrack for Shantae. For me, I had a harder time playing the game, but that's where it comes in with this episode. First of all, I really adored the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as characters, as games, full game is amazing. Beard Blade, the art style is really amazing, it's fun, quirky, and then we come to Shantae. We have a really nice protagonist here, but I haven't had a little hard time with this because this is kind of this Metroidvania where you need to run around, understand everything. But I kind of just had more fun just walking around and just playing the game without getting anywhere. And I know a lot of you guys know me from when I'm talking badly about open world games. And of course, this kind of transcends over to Metroidvanias as well, because you can't have this hub transitioning, going anywhere, doing anything. And you need to kind of figure out what the hell you need to do in order to progress. Shantae is definitely this type of game, but for some reason, the attitude and the happiness that goes through Shantae, she's like a freaking happy pill. And you can do the transformations in this game where you can become a monkey and so on, and you do that by dancing because Shantae is a genie. I just love this, and there are multiple tracks that I really adore from this track, and one of those are The Burning City, or The Burning Town, and I've already played that one multiple times on the podcast, and I was like, nah, I need to play something else, and I found this one, which is also a really vibey one, that I really do enjoy. I listen to a lot of different remixes of this one, which I adore as well. But anyway, so, when it comes to the game then, who the hell developed this? Well, it is by the American studio WayForward Technologies, and the game was released back in 2014, and this was released for the 3DS and the Wii U initially. Of course, it was through the stores. The game was later then ported to PC the following year, and in 2016 it was released for PS4 and Xbox One. And in 2018 it was also released for the Switch, so we're not forgetting anything, because we have forgotten something, because lastly, it was released for the PS5, and that was last year. I'm a little bit unsure, because most of the games from WayForward usually tends to sell on the digital market, but I know there are multiple sites like Limited Run Games and so on, kind of picks up WayForward games and make physical copies of these ones. Seen Shantae multiple times in the stores as well, but I'm a little bit unsure about the other games. But in the beginning, these were most likely more towards the digital store. Of course, there are games physical in this as well, but I've not seen them as much as I did digital-wise. I haven't seen that many physical editions either. Now that I think of it, but at the same time, I'm not running through stores as I used to do. So that could be a large factor. So when it comes to Jake here, it's been a while since we talked about Jake actually, and since then, the last time that he actually released something, released any type of music for a new game, that is, it was for the remastered game Bloody Rain Betrayal Fresh Bites. And this was, yeah, like I said, a remaster. It actually looked pretty fun, so I was like, oh, maybe I should purchase it. But that game was released for the PC and was released back in 2021. And considering Jake, I think we're going to have soon an episode specifically talking about him. I would love to see if I can get in contact with him to actually talk to him and not just about him. But we'll see about that. So I'm not going into any further details about Jake. He has been working on a lot of different games, working back in, I think it was 2011 or something like that. So he has a couple of years as a composer, and he usually tends to release blast after blast. There's always some track on each and every OST that he worked on that I'm so freaking obsessed over. And it's crazy. It is not healthy, I can tell. But I freaking adore this dude. He's so good, so talented in my opinion, especially with me lining up. Of course, music is always subjective to each and everybody, how we portray each sound, what we do like and what we do not like. And for me, Jake is just one of the best guys for me and my style. So the next track, it is also the last track, is going to be a really special one, because this song is not presented inside of the game itself, but it was presented for the game when it was kind of revealed. And the song we're going to listen to is called It's Bug Snacks from the artist Quero Quero Bonito. Have it, Quero Quero Bonito with It's Bug Snacks. And Quero Quero Bonito is a British indie pop group, and like I said, this song is a special one. As you can hear, it is clearly either inside a game or making advertisement for a game. And in this specific case, it was actually an advertisement for the game. The song itself was officially released and so on, but it is not, as I said prior to the song, it is not present inside the actual game, which is kind of sad to me. But of course, wait a minute. So when it comes to this, when they had the release, or not the reveal trailer, back in, let's see, I did draw down the number somewhere. Oh yeah, 2020. And this was during a PS5. This was prior to the PS5 even being released. So they kind of went through with the event and they showed this. And for me, going through and listening to it, because I had my eyes on Bugsnax before. I heard about it, but it's just like, oh, it looked very cute, in my opinion. You're basically playing a journalist heading to a Bugsnax island. And here is the interesting part of a full island filled with insects, but that is also some sort of food. There, hence the name, Bugsnax. And the version and the song, the original song that Quero Quero Bonito did for this one was just plain amazing, in my opinion. In the beginning, when they released it, it was only a short one, but close to this, I think it was like 2 weeks or something like that, they actually made like a live appearance. I'm doing the bunny ears right now, the quote marks here. It's like... So they did like a live version of this where you can see the guys. So there are two guys and one girl. Of course, the girl is singing. And considering that we can see them sing, we can see them play and so on. So it was like a online live concert of the song itself. And I was just blown away. I just love and adore this song, and it is the only reason why I bought this game as well. And of course, I love the game as well. It came to certain parts where I got a little bit frustrated with the game itself, but overall, it's just a zen, kind of nice puzzle game that you play in first person. So you're trying to capture all these bug snacks, and you feed them to the people inside of I don't even remember the... Somethingburg, I don't remember exactly the name of the little town you have with all the characters being and meeting up in. And to this, you have different kind of equipment that you can utilize in order to trap these bug snacks. And your character is kind of rejecting the bug snacks itself, because what is unique with these bug snacks is if you eat them, you can change a part of your body to this section of bug snacks you ate. So if you're, for example, eating a strawberry, which is called strawberry, then your arm will become strawberries, or your tooth or teeth will become strawberry, and so on. So it's very quirky in that sense. I just love the concept of it. And then you have the easy kind of story overall, but the main game is just basically trying to figure out how to capture in each and every of these bug snacks. So I just love and adore this game. So who the hell did this game? Good question, everybody. It's nice that you kind of put me on track again, you know? So when it comes to this game, it was developed by the American studio Young Horses, who's also, if people recognize the name, also known for the game Octodad. GameSnacks was released back in the 20th of November back in 2020. And it has a release for PC, Mac, PS5, and Xbox One. So, the funny trivia about this one. So, even though the song itself is not inside and presented inside the game, which is kind of sad to me, I would love to have seen this in the end credits, at least. Or maybe you can hear it as like an Easter egg where you can go and listen to a radio and then you can switch to radio stations and this one will pop up somewhere and so on. It would have been fun. But a fun trivia here, considering this song. So even if the song is not present inside the game, it is actually present to some extent in the end credits of the game, as we are able to see a picture of one of the characters from the game singing a karaoke, and the text that he's singing to is text from this song. Considering the group here, Quero Quero Bonito, I did not find any other music work for video games related to this artist. Of course, they've done a lot of different kind of indie... For me, it doesn't really sound indie pop either, but it is what they're defining as, so I guess they can just have it, because who am I to judge? But they sound very special in their style. They're implementing Japanese and English in the same, and since all of them are from or have presence and lived a long time in England or in the UK, it sounds very stylish to some extent, and I really adore that about this band. Even if I don't like each and every song, there are always some album where I like one or two songs at least. And it's just fresh and feels fun. But they're special, very special in my opinion. But yet again, when it comes to all these games that I've been listing today, I hope either you have already played it and know what I'm talking about, or that you got interested in playing these games. Because for me, all these games to some extent have always brought a smile to my face. I really adore them all to one or the other extent. If I would say like one game I definitely kind of reaches out from everything, I would definitely say it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
holy crap, that game is so much fun. No problem playing it multiple times with friends or family or anybody for that matter. And being able to play up to 8 characters in this game is just boom, mind blown. Not play that many, I played 4 and that's enough. There's too many things happening on the screen at once. So I have no idea how people think 8 players is even better. Because it's not, really. If somebody has played with 8 players on Surge Revenge, I would love to hear your comments on that, on this episode. Would love to hear that. So, with that said, that is it. That was 4 tracks, and it is time for me to sign out for today. So, other episodes of the Gameable Audio, you can find that on our homepage, videospelskubben.sc, Spotify, or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to follow and comment on one of our social medias, either through Facebook or Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio, and it does help a lot, and it's so nice to hear from you guys, the listeners. What do you think of the episodes? And if you have any other suggestions, like, hey, I was thinking about this track, it would have been real fun if you had this one, or maybe you have your own favorite track and you just want to show me or let me listen to it, because I would love to do that as well. You can also support this podcast for future content and quality updates, but also in the end, future composers. And you do that by becoming a Patreon. Our current awesome backers that we have today is Daniel Unemark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. So really thank you all for supporting this podcast and the composers. Right now I have my eyes on a set for upgrading the microphones for the podcast. Also going to be a good studio and mixer that I can take with me. So right now I have my eyes on the prize, but still I need to pay for music and so on for the episode. So if you guys have been thinking about becoming a patron, this is a great time right now, because I really have my eyes on the prize and I'm trying to get the financials to make that come true. So what else can we do? Yeah, if you liked anything about what we listened today, a majority of the soundtracks is available to purchase directly on Bandcamp, etc. So how do you do that? Well, links are going to be available in the main post at videospelsklubben.sc. Through those links, you can either buy or support the composers in any type of way, even just by listening to them through Spotify or something like that. And with that said, the next theme, I actually haven't written up anything here. So, considering that, I think we should return to something. We're having Easter as I'm recording this, and on the top of that, I have a glass of water here. So, let's actually go with a favorite theme of mine, but I know a lot of people does not like this. Let's do another theme of water levels, because I think even if people hate the water levels themselves, they don't hate the music. They hate the mechanics coming with the water levels. So let's give some water level love in the next episode. Whew, I've been rambling so much, I'm even getting tired right now. So I guess that is the cue for me to stop talking and hope you guys enjoy the episode, because I for sure as hell enjoyed doing the research, enjoyed recording this, and I hope in the end that all you guys that are listening to this enjoyed the episode. So with that said, do take care everybody, and see you all guys next time.